Ace on the House is sponsored by ADT Real Protection. When it comes to something as important as your family's safety, you need real protection with ADT. Real protection means having a safe and smart home, custom fit to your lifestyle. Video doorbells, surveillance cameras, smart locks, carbon monoxide, smoke detectors, and more. It's all there at ADT. ADT keeps you safe and on the go in your car or when your kids are at school with the ADT Go app and SOS button as well. So you can control everything from your smartphone and you can check everything with the ADT Go app. No matter how you define your safety, your family, and your business, ADT is there. Whatever you want to design, they'll design it for you. Visit ADT.com/podcast. Learn more about ADT and how they can design and install secure, smart home systems just for you. ADT, real protection.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. And welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Adam Carolla. Stromer over there. Everyone loves Stromer. Why not?
What's that? What's to lose, right?
Well, there's really nothing to lose to be more like Stromer. Just a couple of cares and a few troubles.
That's all you would lose. That's right.
You might get, like, percentage-wise, per 100,000 miles traveled, you'd get into more car accidents.
Correct. You want to have a car seat with your kid.
That's the only downside to being
more like
helmet. Stromer. So I'm working on my yard. I'm working on my sauna.
I'll tell you what you're working on is those gams. You walked in and saw those gams blazing.
I'm moving, packing my shorts today.
Yeah,
I was working on my other warehouse.
What are you doing over there? That's a nice spot, by the way.
Well, what happened was...
You mean the one with the pool table where all the cars are, right?
No, I bought a warehouse in between the two warehouses.
So what's that going to be for now?
Well, I don't know. You know, my feeling is any people out there listening, you buy a warehouse and they will come.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you will fill that warehouse with something.
Sure.
You'll buy a warehouse, you'll end up starting a business or something.
But you're not going to rent it out to somebody else. You're going to use it for your own stuff.
Yeah,
so
I'll give you a couple of thoughts and then I'll clue you in. And first, I want to thank ADT.com/podcast and KiwiCo.com/Ace, Danner.com, and Geico.com. Thanks to our sponsor. So I bought this warehouse that we're currently sitting in probably about 15 or 16 years ago. This neighborhood we're sitting in was shoddy, somewhere kind of close to dicey, but not dangerous. Just kind of
so like industrial with no development.
Yeah. It's like I would say when I bought this place in 2003, you would have not felt comfortable coming out at night. You would have, I don't know that anything would have happened to you. You just been a little sketchy walk around here at night.
Right.
And,
but you could find a tranny and some heroin if you needed it.
Oh yeah. When I was done with them, I'd let the tranny out and you could, once I released the tranny,
release the tranny.
Once I released the tranny, you'd be more, that's between you and,
and God and the Lord.
Her? Yeah. Either way, you can do what you want with the tranny once I'm done. So you could find a tranny.
Okay, good.
obviously not while I was busy.
Correct.
With the training. Yeah. And then at some point, the CarMax and the Home Depot and then Disney started buying up everything.
And then
up
the fancy coffee joint down the street.
Fancy coffee joints. And it all got sort of upscale.
But, and that was when? So you were 03. When did it start getting foxy out here?
It is, as memory serves, I got this place in like 03, and it just kind of flatlined for about least 5-7 years or so, and then it just started moving. And my feeling was, anyone who's talking about real estate or thinking about a house or commercial real estate or warehouse or whatever it is, you find an area in between two areas. Like, you know, Burbank was getting really developed and Glendale was getting really developed. And this was this weird little weird pocket in between the two spaces that was kind of run down and could use some TLC. So I thought, well, just get it in this area. And then the IKEA opened up and
changed
blah, blah, blah.
Everything.
Right. So it just kind of ticked up. And so I also started to realize that I was walking back and forth from one warehouse to the other constantly. And so when a warehouse came up for sale, literally in between the two warehouses, I just bought that warehouse.
And they're not that far apart, the original two.
Well, so the original two is about a block apart.
Yeah.
And this one's almost in between.
So you almost have the street.
Yeah, no. I mean, not quite, but I have a 3,000-footer that I just bought. Yeah. We're in a 5,000-footer, and then the other one is 12,000-plus.
Right.
And they were all in pretty rough shape. This building was in fair to middling shape, but the 12,000-footer was in really bad shape. And the 3,000-footer was in really bad shape. Right. And so I just put my scrubbing bubbles in there. Like, we just go at it. We just start taking down all the junk that doesn't work. And we just start, you know, mud and tape and skimming and priming and scraping and whatever. It just sort of, it's like your mind is like time-lapse photography. It just kind of goes by. Yeah. And before you know it, a couple of months goes by and the place seems new.
And have you built out offices within it, or is it just a big open box still?
They all come the same way. They all have, or they seem to come the same way. Yeah. They have like a little lobby kind of area in front. They have kind of an office in front, and they have like a bathroom in front and then a sort of bathroom for the back area.
Right.
And that's how built out they are usually. And then you got to decide, do you want to add cubicles? Do you want to add other offices? The adding the office space in a commercial situation, like doing TI work, like I've done tenant improvement work. People don't realize how fast and how easy. I mean, I know I've told you guys this before. That's how I built this studio.
Yeah, it's just
and
wall,
in these
a couple
offices,
of walls, right? Yeah.
Well, what you do that you don't do when you do regular framing in regular construction is, because you do the steel stud stuff, you literally just lay out on the ground what your floor plan is going to be. You know, like snap lines, get the steel track, put the steel track down, shoot it down to the ground. I like to put a little subfloor adhesive or caulk or something underneath the steel, whatever.
Right.
But that's me. But anyway, and then you just stand back and you go, all right, this is the size of the studio. That's the size of the booth. That's the hallway. That's the office. And you can kind of walk the whole thing and kind of go, here's the floor plan.
Sure.
And then once you go, here's the floor plan, then you just start snapping in those metal studs, putting in the tech screws.
Yeah.
Knocking it out.
And just going up 9 feet or whatever you want to do?
I guess I went up about 9 foot, but you could go 8 foot or whatever stud length you get. And then get your metal stud timely jams, you know, drywall it, get your timely door and your metal jams. It just slides over it like a U channel. Like everything is kind of loosely based on a kind of a channel. Like, the door jams are all done. You just snap them. You don't really snap them in. You kind of push them in and work them in, and they fit kind of snug. And then you just set another tech screw in them. And then you get the drop in the T-bar ceiling.
And you're done.
It's done. And put down your carpet squares. You know, it can be done really fast.
Yeah. From a layperson's point of view, it was kind of miraculous watching how fast you put this studio up.
Yeah, and this studio, I think, has a double wall. I believe.
Does.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why it's so fat over there by Gary's head.
That jam, and that's why the jam in the front, the door going into the studio is like 10 inches wide.
Right.
And so the only, thanks, Gary, the only snafu-y thingy for me is I had to find a timely jams, the metal jams.
Yeah.
They're meant for, I think they make one for like half inch drywall and 5/8 drywall. Right. And maybe one for 3/4. I don't know. But it's like, all right, the metal studs are 3.5. The half inch drywall is half inch drywall. So now here's your 4.5 stud, timely jam. Or it's 5 5/8 drywall. And so, which case, here's your 4 3/4 timely jam. I made this wall that was like 10 inches wide.
Right.
So I had to order a timely jam that was actually customizable.
Yeah.
Like
you could slide it out to
like 12 inches.
Accordion style,
I think you slide it from like 7 to 12 inches or so, 7 to 11 inches or something.
And then just lock it off with a screw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Well, yeah, I didn't think you even needed to, because once you slid it to the wall and then sandwiched it in, you're just done with it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I think. So it's pretty fast. It's pretty easy. And
so what's it looking to be over there?
I don't ask questions, even of myself.
Yeah, it's going to evolve, isn't it?
I think we're going to move some production
over
there, because we're working on a lot of different movies.
So it's a dedicated production facility, not combining with car stuff.
I think it'll be dedicated.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to hear the whine of a drill or a grinder when you're trying to do that precious voiceover talking about Paul McCartney.
Well, you know, it's kind of the opposite. Like, I was just over at the other shop. I got the 935 up on a frame table, and we're taking it apart and trying to straighten it out and fix some stuff on it. And I just walked over there, and one of the other guys from the production side was just standing, staring at the 935. He's taking pictures, and I said, "What you doing, Doug?" And he's like, "I just love this car." And I was like, "Yeah, me too." Now get back to work.
get back in the hole.
Get back in the hole. Start cranking out that
shit. There you go.
Cut that shit together.
Wait, who was the guy in Santa Monica or Venice that was the film, the producer, made the horror movies back in the 50s, 60s?
I'll think of his name.
Corman?
Huh?
Corman.
Harvey Corman. Yeah, or no. What's his first name? Something Corman.
Harvey Corman is Carol Burnett.
That's Carol Burnett.
Right.
Yeah.
Corman.
Roger Corman?
Roger Corman. Roger Corman.
You're gonna become that guy soon, just cranking out the hits.
Yeah, that'll be me. The poor man's Roger Corman. All right, let me tell you about
Death Race. That was his thing, right? That was the big movie.
Well, he did everything.
Yeah.
And
he invented genres, that guy.
And most of it was bad.
Horrible, but awesome.
But I think at some point, at the end, he started sort of moving into a little bit of the mainstream and did a couple of films with a couple of people that you've heard of that were in it that weren't C-list.
Like Lonnie Anderson.
Yeah, we'll look at Roger Corman. We'll try to figure out
good stuff.
What he did. At the end, I think he did a couple of, maybe he was an escape. No, he wasn't escape from
Ron
New York.
Howard got a start through him directing.
Ron Howard did
that was his first movie.
Matt, the Porcelain Punisher is a film aficionado, but do you know the Ron Howard, not Gone in 60 Seconds, but like Eat My Dust and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that.
See, Ron Howard at the very beginning, like post Happy Days, but like pre being the Ron Howard that you're aware of.
Yeah.
He did a bunch of like C B movies, you know, weird action-y car racing. Look up the trailer for Eat My Dust.
And Corman gave him the start
and
the picture
your
business.
Mind will be blown, Matt. Yeah. You'll see Opie like in a bad 70s car movie.
I can't wait.
All right. And also, I guess it's like, what's his name? Mark Hamill of Star Wars being in Corvette Summer. Like, people
all
know
the
that story.
Why haven't you done a car-centric movie as a performer?
Mm.
I mean, what better person in the world than to redo Death Race 2000? The Adam Carolla way. Why the fart not aren't you doing that?
You know, I know Chris Morgan, the guy who does all the Fast and Furious movies, and like he always threatens to put me in the movie, but it never does. Yeah, all right, let me tell you about, we'll find that trailer for Eat My Dust. You guys will laugh your ass off. I'll tell you about KiwiCo. Projects designed to encourage confidence and creativity through play. Kids get a learning experience that carries over into everything they do. These projects are great. They engage. They make you move your hands and your mind. I got a couple. I've been working on them with Sonny. I tell him to put down the stupid Fortnite video game and join me in life. Hundreds of products focusing on STEAM. That's science, technology, engineering, art, mathematics for kids all ages, 0 to 16. KiwiCo creates something for everyone, and everyone needs to engage your mind, and need, especially now, everyone's just staring at a screen and going insane. So you can choose your crate online, and you get them shipped monthly. Cancel or pause your plan anytime. Make learning fun. KiwiCo's projects make STEAM concepts enjoyable for all the kids, and you can just check it out. Right, Matt?
That's right. Change the way your kid plays with KiwiCo. Visit KiwiCo.com/ACE to get your first crate free. That's KiwiCo.com/ACE for your first crate free. KiwiCo.com/ACE.
All right. We have Eat My Dust with
Shout
Ron
factory.
Howard. All right.
I got more speeding tickets than anybody else in the county.
I want to ride in. In that car.
They steal a super stocker and tell the world to eat my dust. Darlene is in the fast car.
Hey,
Super is in the Darlene. When they get their hands on 700 horses, they've got to get into trouble.
I'm chasing them.
They're off on a screaming, squealing, shattering smashathon. A hot date in a hot car, cruising at 150, rubber burning, and Smokey can't put it out.
Let us just blow them away.
And if you want to catch them, I suggest you call the Strategic Air Command.
What, can they catch us?
Yeah, if I run into a wall or something.
Eat my dust.
Hoover, you're outrageous.
Ron Howard pops the clutch and tells the world to eat my dust.
See, Matt, you think I'm making up all this shit.
You see how Ron Howard,
that was glorious.
Ron Howard patted that gal's bottom as she was going over the side.
Oh, man.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I think why it doesn't really quite work is because Ron Howard just looks like the nicest, most innocent guy ever. And you watch this trailer of him being like, yeah, if I crash into a wall, they'll catch me. Like, it does not work.
No.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
The biggest stunts. They would do like the same stunts over and over. They'd like take like a gas station, and then they'd erect some fakakta plywood sort of awning display or something in front. And it'd all be just kind of leaning together. And then it was big excitement to see the guy drive through this plywood puzzle they've just leave
but
hanging
I will
off
say,
the front.
I like the low angle car coming over the cliff.
That was good.
Nice,
that
wasn't
was almost
it?
Dutch.
That was Dutch.
That was awesome. And they would do also a lot of, at a certain point, they realized that there was a lot of old trashed up RVs and boats and things like that. And they could just mash them while they were driving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also driving old cars on top of old cars was was a big
Here's
deal.
My pitch for you. You're a man, much like the guy in Michael Douglas's Falling Down.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost your way. You had it. You just get in a car and you go nuts.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And then you take on a gal.
Oh, we call
almost
it,
a hostage.
I got the title. Eat My Nuts. Is that good?
Let's print. Let's do it.
And then number two film, Eat My Nuts in Sacktown.
That's right. I got to make it to Sacktown.
That's right.
Before the IRS closes in on the nunnery.
Yes.
They're going to take the property.
They are. You got to save them. They
got to save them.
They just play guitar and sing carols and stuff around a fire. That's all.
Adam Carolla in Eat My Nuts. Going Sacktown or bust?
Or bust.
No, just bust. Come on. Don't sexualize it.
Sorry.
Eat My Nuts.
Genius.
Sacktown or bust.
Yep.
All right. Somebody come up with that poster.
And get a little short man to be in the trunk. He pops out every now and then.
I was raised in the nunnery. I was raised by the nuns.
Right. She was
now
impregnated by the Ron Howard character.
I don't think we need to look. We don't have a rear view in this.
That's all.
Yeah. Oh, subtext. Yeah. Okay. So I was raised, and now they want to close down
the nunnery.
The IRS does, and they're going to move in.
Turn it into a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, big developer.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe not a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Because he's on that side of the aisle.
Yes, sir.
He's going to turn it into a big weed dispenser.
Yes.
Yeah.
Roundup plant.
And I'm not going to... No, that kind of... Not that kind of weed.
Sorry.
Okay, listen.
Okay, all right. All you right, go. Right, you're the development executive.
If you're going to come to our offices and pitch an idea, I think the two of you need to get on the same page first.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, let's talk out in the parking. Let's just meet there 10 minutes early.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's just kind of get the beats out in the parking lot, then we'll bring it in.
All right, I'll be
the
hype man.
But anyway, the title, Eat My Nuts, Sacktown or Bust.
That's locked.
That's all we got.
That's what we got. That's all you need.
That's all we need.
That's it.
I can see the poster now, fellas. You got yourself a green light.
What color is that light?
Green.
Okay,
Verde.
Good.
Verde, if we do an international marketing.
That's right. Right. That's green. All right. What are you working on, Stromer?
Well, I just moved my mom and dad into my house. I want to shoot myself in the face.
Oh, my God. You moved your mom
and your dad? Yeah, they had to.
They're still together?
They're still together, and they need some advanced medical care, and they're not quite ready to go into a home. So it's a difficult and sad transition. And a lot of me going, are you still alive? When I scream into the room.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. How many square feet's your house?
It's about 3,200 square feet, somewhere around there.
It's not small, but it's not big enough to lose your parents.
And there's nothing, and I mean nothing, that heightens a man and woman's arousal than having your mom sleeping under you in your office.
Yeah, my dad's kind of getting into the same zone.
My dad's a little forgetful and kept wondering who the people were at the party last night.
Mm-hmm.
And now my kids and I are all just sort of worn out. We're like, well, that was just friends of mine.
Right. But it was really just you and your family?
It was really no one.
Oh, no
just
one.
Fictitious parties.
How old's your dad?
87, 88, something like that.
How old's your mom?
86.
Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. I'm not sure how the home stuff works. I mean, the home, going into a home or your home or...
You just don't ever think about things like why, you know, this is where the ADA compliance stuff comes in. Wider door jams to get the walker through, lower curbs for the shower. Like, how the hell do you bathe someone who can't really walk?
Right.
You know, it's tough, man.
Yeah, man.
You got to think forward a little bit. And I think people should start being aware of that possibility in their own lives, because it ain't easy.
Yeah, we never worked that way.
No.
All right, Matt, do we have a vid question?
Oh, we do. Yep. We're always ready for you guys. Mm-hmm. Please send us your email and video questions, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com, and go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see it. This one's a little long, but I think you'll like it.
All right.
Ace, Stromer, get it on. I got a video question for you guys today, and I think this might be kind of right up your alley. So I have this space. Let me switch my video around.
He's building out his
So I have this space
attic?
Down underneath my house. And what I'm going to be doing is, here's my furnace platform right here. What I want to do is I want to fill in this area and make a floor out of it. I'm going to be doing...
Bust it up slam.
I'm a heating and cooling technician. And so what I'm going to be doing is actually making some YouTube videos to kind of walk through how gas furnaces operate and some basic homeowner tips and troubleshooting. So I want to build this out into kind of a studio. I know Stromer was recently working on a big fancy recording studio, so I'm on a shoestring budget, but basically what I want to be able to do is I'm going to finish off this wall with some of that plastic sheeting, finish off this wall, and then I want to be able to extend this platform across, not this 2x12 that's laying there, but I want to put down some kind of plywood sheeting. And so I have this as an attachment point down here, 2x4.
It's got a subfloor in its basement.
On top of it. And then on the other side, you know, this is concrete, and then I got this little footer down here. So I'm just trying to figure out what do you guys think? What can you recommend
under the plastic,
as,
right?
You know, spanning this gap and giving me a nice little platform I can walk on. Ultimately, I'd like to, you know, even put maybe some equipment down here. And this crawl space is pretty huge. If you just look around, basically the whole bottom floor of this house.
So all right. Pause it for a sec. Let's see. So he's got this gap. He's got this 8 foot wide by 6 foot wide or long or whatever.
Yeah, it's block on one side or a foundation and then a raised floor.
It's kind of like a raised foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if you... If you would like to take, let's just say you have a rim joist or something like that, and you want to butt other 2x6 joist to it or 2x whatever joist to it, joist hangers are a good way to go.
Right.
And screw them in with those, you know, square, you know, hex nut drive, Hilti or whatever, Simpson, you know, screws or whatever. So a good, strong, solid way to go for all that are building. And let me put this out there. Can I put this out there?
Take it, baby doll.
When I was coming up, everything you framed, you did all your framing with 16 penny nails. You did all your sheathing, like, you know, shear wall and stuff like that with like 8 penny nails. When you would put on your joist hangers or hardware, you'd put it on with these Tico nails, a little thick, stubby,
pain in the ass
kind
to
of
get
ring
them in
shank,
there.
You know, ting, 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 ting. And I remember on more than one occasion, at some point, somebody inevitably would go, like they'd look up at all the hangers and they'd go, oh, We laid it out 16 on center, and the plan calls for 24 on center, and we gotta
pull them off.
And there'd be some poor guy up there with a cat's paw and a hammer and thing fighting with it, like bending it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I started recently, like when I was doing my sauna, instead of getting out the framing gun or the 16 penny nails, I said, let's just get those framing screws, you know, the star drive, you know, 3-inch, you know, big, thick auger thing or whatever.
Because the shear strength is good.
The strength is better. I mean, yes, it's very good.
Yeah.
And also, I started to find that, like, you don't know how much, like, when you're hanging those joist hangers and stuff, and then you go, oh, we got to lower them a little bit or whatever. You just back out those screws. Like,
I agree.
So many times you just back out, add on, whatever.
Right.
It's just, if you're doing a framing job, a job like he's talking about, hanging joist hangers, blah, 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 just get that cordless impact gun and like screw everything. It'll be stronger. It's fast. It's easy. It's a little more expensive in terms of the screws. But inevitably, when you have to go back and move something or change something or pull something, it's just so much easier to back that stuff out.
Right.
And so.
And now let me just interject something, because he's got to tie into 2x4 joists on one side and concrete block or a foundation wall on the other. Doesn't he need to put a plate on the top of the wall on the right side, the concrete, and then come off that? And tie into
the concrete side, I would put a ledger.
Just do a ledger with
some form
masonry.
Of ledger.
Yeah.
Get screws. Get your Tapcon or masonry type screws.
Right.
Boy, those things work.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Put a little goo on the back of it, construction adhesive. Put that on, and then hang your joists.
There you go.
Joist hangers on the ledger.
That's right.
All right. Let me tell you about Danner Boots. Gary's got a question. Born from logging and exploration, Danner is a Pacific Northwest original. Every boot is handsome and it's good looking.
Fashion forward, right?
Fashion forward, but also safety, and it's rugged and it's handmade to hold up to unforgiving conditions. The Stronghold work boot, 85 years of legendary quality, durability meets modern construction technology and materials. It's comfortable. It looks good. It used to be kind of a big, you could look cool in your boots, but it was tough on your bunions, man. Now there's Danner boots. Tomorrow's classic today. Do people even have bunions anymore? What happened to bunions?
I don't
know.
I think they went away in the 50s, man.
The Stronghold work boot. Find your local store at Danner.com. That is Danner.com. All right, Gary, you got a question?
I do. I'm in the market for a workbench, and this is one I've been looking at. But
Gary, devil.
I like the ones. I was looking at first at adjustable ones because I'm taller, so I'd like it to be a little higher than normal.
Uh-huh. We're looking at a Husky rolling kind of modular kind of workbench, yes.
Right. I do like this one that has a built-in, you know, the pegboard and the cabinets and the drawers,
yeah.
Especially the locking cabinets with the kid coming. I can put stuff out there that's dangerous or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a way that – a practical way that I, with the help of my handy brother-in-law, would be able to take those casters off, somehow raise the thing, and then put the casters back on? Because I like the idea of it moving or being able to move.
Yeah.
But I want it higher.
You want it height.
What's your brother-in-law do?
For a long time, he was flipping houses.
Oh.
He used to run all the improvs. Then he was flipping houses. Now he does real estate and mortgage. But he has a whole like wood shop in his garage. He's super, super handy.
Super handy. All right.
I mean,
how's your wife about all this stuff? She into it?
She's into the fact that I'm into it.
Really?
Ooh.
She likes the fact that I want, you know, to have a proper workbench and tools and be able to sort of do some of the most basic stuff.
It's where you can have the sex talk with your son.
There you go.
Hop up on the bench. I mean, the easy dumb way of doing it is taking up 4x4, you know, chunks on each corner and just screwing it. Like right now,
screwing it from the inside of the
casters are probably through bolted onto the sheet metal railing, whatever, of the bottom. So there's a nut and a bolt that's holding the top. The top of the caster, the wheels,
yeah,
are going to have four holes, and they're going to be through screwed, most likely. Hopefully there's not a blind nut, like a nut that's like welded on the inside or clipped on the inside. It's probably a kit. Probably you have to through screw it. And so, because of that, you could take a chunk of 4x4. You could cut it to, it's 3.5. You could just cut it to 3.5 by 3.5. It'd just be a 3.5, 3.5 cube. You could paint it black, just spray paint it like flat black or satin black, whatever color the thing is. I would spray paint it that color. I would line it up, flush it up with the front edge and the outside edge. I would hold it there. I would pre-drill a couple of holes, and then I would sink like four wood screws through the existing hole inside into the chunk. And then I would literally flip, once I did that times four, I would flip the whole thing over and do the exact same thing with the casters on the way down. The caveat here is the 4x4 is going to want to split a little bit. You can't really through bolt it, screw it. That's going to be too much. You could... This is sort of I'm working on the version of this that doesn't involve metal and metal fabrication. This is a way that if you did it this way and you pre-drilled it, it would work good enough for long enough, provided you didn't move it a lot.
I don't plan to move it much.
I don't think you're planning on moving it much. So it would kick it up 3.5 inches, which would be good. That would be probably perfect. It would look pretty decent if you spray painted the 4x. And it would work decently enough, provided you did a pilot hole, and if you wanted, you could even take the wood screws that you're going down with and the wood screws you're going up with the casters. And I always like to drill a pilot hole that's pretty good size, so you're not going to blow out the wood, that's almost the same size as the screw, and then take the screw and put a little caulking on the thread so when you suck it up, it kind of a little bit. And when I was screwing down, I would either direction, I would set the clutch so that you don't hammer down on it. What you don't want to do is just kind of torque it, you know, it'll split it out.
Yeah.
Try that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Enjoy. All right. How's your wife with your home improvement skills, Stromer?
When I do it, I get sex.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
She likes it.
Oh, man. It's like, are you kidding me? You can do that? I'm like, yeah, baby. Watch this. I'm going to hang this curtain rod.
Now, you're making me depressed. Is that true? Is that true?
Yeah, of course.
Jesus
Christ. But if I don't do it, and I don't do it much, daddy ain't getting nothing.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't want to do it because I do it every day.
I got you.
Speaking of every day, take a look at what I just made. Yeah, I want you to see this gorgeous, gorgeous fence.
Got a question coming out of Colorado.
Look at that. Look at what I did.
Oh, that's your horizontal.
Look at how I've color matched all those pieces.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that beautiful?
We're looking at his 1x8.
Yeah, 1x8.
1x8, 1x4s or 3s?
I cut those, cut them and made a little design in the horizontal.
Stainless steel hinges?
Stainless steel hinges. But look at how I used one piece of wood to separate out my door. Isn't that pretty?
That's nice. Yeah, it keeps the grain. And it's not just the grain. It's like the color of the whole thing.
It's everything. Yeah.
What'd you put it together with?
I used the hex head deck screws.
And what do you do? Do you leave them exposed?
I just put them to the surface, and they're already treated, so you don't see anything but a small, tiny little hole, and leave that, and it looks architectural.
You know, I used to do custom closets, and we'd put them together with these conformat screws, they were called, bulky, big, thick, hefty screws. They have little buttons.
Yeah. Oh, those are pretty. Because if you plan out your screw pattern and put the caps, then it looks beautiful.
The little plastic cap.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill, 52, Colorado.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, I've got a older farmhouse that has a attic that doesn't have ductwork for heat and AC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to create the attic is finished, but I'm trying to create a bedroom out of the attic. And the only way I can see to get heat and AC up there that would be effective would be one of the split heat and AC units.
The cut? Yeah, you mean like the Hitachi ones or the Mitsubishi
ones?
The wall mount ones? Yeah.
Yeah. I like them. They work great.
I was just wondering what your experience with those were, if they worked well, if they held up, if they were junk. Or...
No, they seem to be the wave of the future. They're used a lot probably in Europe.
Yeah, because they have sense over there to individuate each room, right?
Yeah,
in each area.
And they don't have as much space as we have. There's a lot of good units, and I guess Mitsubishi makes a lot of them. Maybe I'm thinking about Hitachi probably, or probably a lot of companies make them now. Kind of wave of the future. And if you're looking to heat or cool an individual unit and you don't want to run a bunch of ducting and put in another, you know, compressor and blah, 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 I think it's the way to go.
Yep.
I like it.
Me too. Love them.
Have you heard anything about the durability on them?
They're great. I haven't had to replace any that I put in like 15, 20 years ago.
I haven't heard anything bad. What is the, what's the exterior of the house?
It's, siding.
Okay. So you can cut a hole in that?
Yeah, I don't think that would be an issue. I mean, what the main issue is, there's not a lot of insulation in the attic because it's a very old house. You know, original part of it was probably built in the early 1900s with additions in the 50s and 60s. So,
what city is this in Colorado?
It's a rural Weld County. It's actually on a farm. So there's no city.
Great.
Peaceful man. So do it. I think that's the way to go. And, go online and just look around and find out what your cubic footage is and find the right size unit that fits your space.
And don't you want to do a little blow-in insulation if you can?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to rip down the drywall because the drywall's right up against the joists. So years ago, we had ripped off the roof and took off the asphalt shingles and then took off the plank shingles, and we put some insulation underneath there and then put sheeting over the top of it because they had just originally at some point roofed over the top of the what you want to call them, shaker shingles.
Yeah.
So we replaced those with sheeting, and then we put insulation in it then, but it's still, there wasn't a lot of room to put the insulation because we couldn't, but I think with the split unit, it would be a comfortable, in the winter and the summer.
Yeah, I agree. And for anyone listening, you can blow in cellulose insulation in walls. I've done it before. They cut a hole. They take a hole saw and they basically cut like, I don't know, 3.5-inch hole saw at the top of the wall bay. And then they do another one under the fire
block. Under blocking, yeah.
And then they just blow it in top and bottom and come back and patch it. And then you have to come back later and fix their patch because it looks like shit.
It always looks like crap, yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
Hey, guys, Geico.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You kidding me? Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk. What about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything? Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Because I've had 3 accidents in a month and a half time, boy, the insurance has kicked in and has really helped me. Got to get it. Extra money in your pocket. That's the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Geico.com.
All right. Let's see. Not Taco Bell material. My stand-up special is available as we speak at Chassis, 2S's and a Y.com, iTunes, and Amazon as well. Also, tonight, I'll be in at Cobb's in San Francisco doing 2 shows. And this Friday. That's right. Sacramento, Thunder Valley.
Sacktown.
Sacktown, man.
What's coming to Sacktown?
Eat my nuts.
That's right.
Thunder Valley Casino. Watch the Ace Man eat his own nuts up on stage. Thunder Valley Resort and Casino in Sacktown.
Thank God for that yoga.
Oh, man. Damn dog. So tonight, last show, 2 shows will be there. Cobbs, come on out and say hi. I do stand up there. And then Thunder Valley Casino. Eat my nuts,
yeah,
Sacktown. You can go to amcorolla.com for all the live events, live shows, and everything that's coming up. What do you got, Stroller?
Well, I'll be teaching my dad to make a peanut butter sandwich again.
Oh, man.
Again.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So, and check out Ricky Anderson and Mir Harris's podcast that Gary's producing on Podcast One. A lot of comedy, a lot of entertainment, a lot of music. So check that out. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.